Yeah, you know, I think was a quick reminder for all of us that, you know, Muschamp can be a no-nonsense guy. He's going to sort of speak his mind. And, you know, I think he, you know, was pretty clear about exactly how he feels about David Williams right now as far as what he needs to do to be where they want him to be. Now, I do kind of go back to the old idea of, you know, you're really in the doghouse when the coach doesn't care enough to get mad at you. You know what I mean? The fact that Muschamp is still trying to push those buttons means that, obviously, he still thinks David Williams is a talented guy. He even said that. And, you know, I think it means he knows that they're going to need David Williams to play at a high level, because I think you look behind him, obviously A.J. Turner did some good things in the spring. I think A.J. Turner has a place on this team, but I think you wonder size-wise, is A.J. Turner a guy that can carry the football, you know, 20 times in an SEC game and take that type of beating? I think that's a big question mark. You know, Rico Daddle, obviously a kid that a lot of people are very high on, very, very talented. I think long-term is an excellent option at running back, but you're obviously talking about another true freshman, a kid that played quarterback his senior year in high school, so he's adapting again to playing running back again. And, you know, also you're looking at an offense where you already are probably going to be playing a freshman quarterback extensively, even if Perry Orth wins the job. And you're definitely going to be playing at least one freshman receiver extensively in Brian Edwards, and probably a few other guys there. So I think you'd rather not throw another freshman into the mix, but David Williams obviously is going to have to show that he's willing to do what it takes to win that job, I think.
And to the quarterback situation, Wes, how do you feel, or what's the word on the incorporation of Lorenzo Nunez from quarterback into the receiving core? And my, you know, the sort of part B to it, my thing is he happy about doing it? I think that's one of the things that will be most important to his transition.
Yeah, you know, everything I was told going into this move was that he is happy with it because the fact that the staff is going to try to find a way to use his talents. You know, I do think he's still going to have a place on this team at quarterback. You know, Muschamp's mentioned multiple times the fact that, you know, he's going to have a package of plays at that position. And I think you look at what Roper did at Duke. You know, he did incorporate sort of a short yardage goal line and a running type quarterback into his offense there. So, you know, I think Nunez is happy that he's going to be used. You know, we'll see long term how happy he is, because I think some of that's going to depend on the transition to wide receiver. How much does he actually play? In theory, it really makes a lot of sense. I mean, the kid, he's a big kid. He can run. He can make people miss in the open field. I think we have to remember that, you know, it's not just about those things to play receiver. There's a lot of things that go into that position, a lot of things that go into running routes and adjusting routes on the fly and, you know, where exactly you're supposed to be on the field. It's a lot for anybody to take on. So, you know, it's not NCAA football, you know, the video game where you just switch guys around. So, you know, I think there's a lot of questions there, but if it pays off, you know, you're talking about a guy who I think the upside at receiver, and even the upside is sort of a short yardage goal line quarterback, is all there. And I think if you're this staff, you're not in a place where you can sort of say, you know, we're not going to try that with anybody. You know, they have to exhaust all potential opportunities to try to get an additional playmaker on the field, because I think that is a really, really big question mark for this offense.
Wes, I mentioned yesterday that the fact that he is such an integral part of this football team, not just talked about by the coaches, but in the media, Lorenzo Nunez. And I think that's got to help his confidence, his focus out there, and as far as, just concentrating on the job at hand, being a receiver. But I think just the importance that people are making into this and his athletic talent is the reason for that. That's got to give him a lot of confidence.
Absolutely. You know, he's a good kid. I think that I think Roper used the word that he's a conscientious kid. You know, he's a guy that I think understands it's not necessarily an easy transition. But, you know, you look at the physical talent. He's 6'3". he's actually probably as big as he's ever been, and in a good way. You know, he had the knee injury, but he actually spent that time sort of redefining his upper body. He's at about 217 pounds now, I think. You know, this is a guy that I think very easily has the ability. Now it's just about putting it all together.
Talking to Wes Mitchell of Gamecock Central here on this Thursday afternoon. Carolina now in day three of practice here in August, in a month, if you want to look at it, 4 weeks from the start of the season up against the Vanderbilt Commodores. Wes, let's turn over to the defensive side right now. Give us an idea of how the progression is in the defensive backfield. We'll kind of work our way forward right now, but it certainly feels as if defensive back was probably the area of highest concern going into the offseason and now heading into a 2016 campaign.
Yeah, I think it's still a big concern. You know, we're only, I guess, now three practices in. We didn't get any availability today, but they did practice. So, you know, I don't know that we know much more here on Thursday than we did, you know, last week. But I do think that what we do know is that they have to avoid injuries there. I think you look at the potential starters, especially at cornerback. I think, you know, you look at a Rashad Fenton, Chris Lamond, so I think is going to really benefit a ton from this new staff. And then, you know, you look at adding Jamarcus King. All the returns on him have been very, very positive. He really looks the part, 6'2 kid. He can match up with bigger receivers. You know, you look at that spot, I think there's a potential for them to be fine there. You know, safety, I think Chaz Elder and DJ Smith need to have really, really good preseason camps. But, you know, the ability is there. But I think the biggest issue is when you start looking at the depth there. And, you know, people kind of have to remember, even though this you might term it a 4-3 defense, pretty much every defense these days is some type of nickel. You know, you're talking about a 4-2-5 because everybody run spread offenses these days pretty much. So, you know, I think I read that at Florida, Muschamp's final year there, they were in nickel or dime defenses over 70% of the time. So, you know, you have to have defensive backs. You have to have some depth there. And I think that's where it becomes an even bigger worry is when you start talking about who goes in as a backup, who goes in if a guy cramps up. They've got to avoid sort of the big injury there as well.
Have you heard from Coach Muschamp in direct relation to what he said about the defensive front where he wants a heavy rotation, Wes? Does he have the same philosophy? I mean, you mentioned some of the reasons why you might need to have a backup, but otherwise, is that more a place where he'd be comfortable leaving the number ones in as often as he can?
Yeah, you know, I think he probably is more comfortable there. He's mentioned how, you know, pass rush is one of the most exhausting things you can do on a football field. So that's something where, you know, you need depth at every position ideally. But I do think much like Roper talked about how you know, he said we played just about three guys at receiver 1 year at Duke and all the guys put up big numbers. I think that's a position where you can get by, but then it gets back to just the – it's a fact of football life that you're going to have injuries at pretty much every position. So I think for South Carolina, you know, getting a Rico McWilliams in a position to where they're comfortable having him on the field, you know, even, you know, a Chris Moody, you know, I think even it gets down to Chris Smith, the freshman from South Point that came in early. You know, I think they kind of have to get all those guys ready. And I think it's smart that they're cross-training guys too, you know, working guys at safety and cornerback. You know, you want to get your best four, then you want to get your best five on the field. Having Chris Lamond play safety when you're in a 4-3 and maybe play corner when you're in nickel might be the ticket to getting your best four and your best five on the field.
And Wes, Coach Muschamp singled out Dennis Wonnum, DJ Wonnum, as a guy that's really caught his eye. In fact, he was going to be doing the early practices after just 2 days of practice, which is before schedule. So he is a guy who's, I think I saw 6'3", 240, or 6'4", 240, and obviously a lot of potential there from just a freshman on the defensive end position.
Yeah, you know, that's probably, I would say, at least early on, maybe the surprise of camp so far. You know, this is a kid, I don't want to use the word afterthought, but he's a kid who, you know, really didn't have a lot of hype as far as this class, you know, this recruiting class goes. But he was a guy that Muschamp sort of personally recruited, really liked his upside as a pass rusher. Didn't really put up huge numbers, I don't think, there at Stevenson as far as the sack total goes, but just, you know, was a big kid that could sort of get off the line with the quickness, and he's already added some good weight in the time since his senior year in high school. I think he's put on 15, 20, 25 pounds or something. So sort of growing into his frame a little bit. And, you know, I think that's obviously a good sign because they, you know, I think they do have some good options on the defensive line. They have some guys with talent. I think what they're going to have to try to find is that one or two sort of true bona fide pass rush guy, you know, a guy that can break down a one-on-one matchup and get to the quarterback. You know, I think you look at their defensive tackles, there's some decent depth there. You look at, I think Quay Lewis is set to have a pretty good year, possibly a really big year at defensive end. But when you start talking about pass rush and talking about finding the buck who can fill that position, I think that's where they're probably going to have to exhaust pretty much every option and try to find the best guy who can get to the quarterback.
How's Dexter Wideman doing so far this spring and summer?
You know, I haven't heard that name mentioned, you know, a whole lot. I think, you know, you look at the guy, you look at the depth chart, you look at the guys sort of working with the first and second team. You know, I look more towards, you know, a Kelsey Griffin, Taylor Stallworth, even a Yorick Jones, I think, is a guy to pay attention to. Abu Lamine, even Kobe Smith, you know, I think has a chance as a true freshman since he got in here early to play. I think with Dexter, it's still just about, you know, finding a way to put it all together and sort of catch up with some of those other guys. But I think he's probably behind some other guys right now.
This week, as you went into to covering practice and now that you've had a couple of days to cover it, what maybe has stood out to you from a surprise standpoint, something you weren't thinking of? Is there anything like that as of yet?
You know, not yet. You know, I thought the, you know, like I said, that Wynum sort of got singled out like that, you know, was a little bit of a surprise to me. I think, you know, it was interesting how they decided to do the quarterbacks. You know, pretty much gave Orth all the number, you know, the first team reps the first day. Then you gave McElwain the first team reps the second day, sort of letting those guys rotate like that. I thought that was interesting. The biggest change and sort of interesting philosophy to me has just been the split squad practices. You know, the idea, which it makes sense, the idea of saying we're going to put all our newcomers in a completely separate practice. They're doing this for 4 days and let those guys watch the other guys practice. And then you use the exact same play script in the second practice in order to let those guys sort of see how it's supposed to be done. That was a philosophy I really wasn't too familiar with, but really does, I think, make a lot of sense. So as far as, I guess it's not really a surprise, but one of the biggest changes to me was that.
Another freshman that Coach Muschamp pointed out kind of said caught his eye on offense, freshman receiver Keel Pollard. And I noticed he's a guy who's 6'2", 230. For a wide receiver, that seems, I don't want to say a little bit heavy. Obviously, he's athletic or he wouldn't have caught his attention and maybe has a potential to grow another inch or two. And looks like he's impressing the head coach.
Yeah, you know, he's had a good start. This is a kid that played for Rush Propes down at Colquitt County in Georgia and just put up phenomenal numbers as a junior and senior in high school. And from what I understand, Keel has actually been working in at H-back sort of as a tight end because of that size. You know, Casey Crosby had a little bit of an off-season procedure, so he's still waiting mm-hmm. to get cleared to get back. So that has sort of left a little bit of void at the tight end spot. And, you know, they went ahead and moved Keel to the veteran practice to get him some work there. And, you know, this is another one of those guys where I think maybe he doesn't fit an exact mold. Like you said, that's not really what you think of when you think of a wide receiver is 6'2", 230. But in high school, he kind of had a little bit of almost a Pharaoh Cooper quality to him where he just had a knack for making plays. And no matter where they played him, he played some quarterbacks, some running backs, some receiver. No matter what he did, he kind of had a way of making plays and put up huge numbers. So, you know, I think Keel Pollard is a guy, especially long-term, you never know how quick a freshman will pick things up. But long-term, he's one of those kids where you're not quite sure where he fits, what position it necessarily is, You know, Evan Henson, he came in as a tight end. He actually kind of looks more like a receiver right now, sort of a skinnier guy. So, so there are some guys in this class that, you know, I think you maybe don't necessarily know exactly where they're going to fit, but you sort of look at them and say, that's a guy that's going to be able to help in some way at some point.
Wes, last thing for you, away from the current squad right now, but how big a loss is Akeem Cooperwood to this team? They wanted him, obviously, a young man with a lot of girth up front on the offensive line, but he's not going to be a part of the program. Big deal, or can they absorb it?
You know, I think it's something they can absorb because you look, he was probably going to have to sort of reshape his body from a conditioning standpoint anyway. Plus, with the fact he would have been getting in so late, I don't think you would have been counting on Akeem Cooperwood, you know, to come in and play immediately this year anyway. So I think with that under consideration, also the fact that I think you're going to see recruiting sort of continue to make a big jump up as the staff has an opportunity to develop relationships for 1, 2, 3 years. I think long-term, you know, nothing obviously against the kid personally, but I think long-term, this is a loss that they should be able to absorb.